Mishkan, you're never alone.
Shalom, and welcome to the Remnant Radio Hour, where we're living and learning a restoration lifestyle. This is Nitza Moshe from Remnant Remedy. This is part 15b of Preparation Skills for the Remnant Bride. My special co-host on this series is Suzette Robinson from Michigan. And if you'd like to follow along with us, you can go to www.paintedtongue.com and download the information there and or look at the PowerPoint. And so let's continue with Suzette.
All right. What is it Piecrete?
Piecrete. Piecrete is a special blend of 14% sawdust or wood pulp, and some have made it with paper, by weight to water, and it's frozen. And it happens to be bulletproof, shatterproof, and it lasts for days or months, depending on the size. During World War II, there was a man, I think his name was Albert Pike, and not to be confused with the Mason, and he designed an aircraft carrier. And they did a model of it, and the war ended, and the model was abandoned on Lake Victoria, Canada, and it lasted for months in the summer sun. The stuff is super, super, super strong. We actually have made homemade blue ice or artificial ice packs. And they work, they're phenomenal. We did that as a home science experiment, and I used old, when I had my candle business, I had fragrance, you know, that comes in these HDPE bottles, and we made them in there. They're very hard to stuff. I went to the pet store and got the pet bedding shavings. It was very cheap. I think it was $10, and it's a gigantic bag, and I'm sure they have smaller quantities. And then we just put it out, put it in there by weight, and then freeze them, and they make great artificial ice. And they last a super long time. Like even we had family members that we were on a family vacation down in Tennessee, a family reunion, and some of the people went to an amusement park or something and they just had a backpack and they borrowed our homemade ice things in their regular backpack, not in a cooler, and they lasted all day.
And that was made out of this Piecrete?
Yeah, Piecrete.
Okay. Well, that
we had a great idea. We were going to revolutionize blue ice, and we were going to make Piecrete blue ice, and it just never took off. So.
Well, I did see that someone posted this week that you could take one part of rubbing alcohol. I'm assuming you could use other kinds of alcohol, but why waste it? And three parts of water to a Ziploc bag and put it in the freezer, and that could also be an ice pack, and the alcohol keeps it from freezing hard and solid, but still hard and, you know, soft enough so it's moldable for an ice pack. So that's another thing that you could use. Now, where would one get this Piecrete?
We just, like I said, we just made it. It's not something you buy. We went to the pet store, like I said, bought some wood shavings. If you had a wood shop or you did a lot of woodworking, you'd have your own sawdust.
Okay.
And you just put it in with a container, find a freezable container. You could use like the disposable Ziploc plastic containers.
Mm-hmm.
You could use Ziploc bags. They wouldn't be as sturdy. Or some kind of, you know, plastic bottles that you can screw the lids on and then put in the amount of water and just throw them in your freezer. And I think for a power outage, this is the thing I think they would really come in handy is if, you know, they say a full, refrigerator freezer stays, you know, is more efficient anyway. If you had some of these made up and you put them, kept them in your freezer and took them out or, you know, put them in and out as your freezer filled up or got less food in it, if you did have an emergency and you had several of these in your freezer, it would really help maintain your temperatures. And you could transfer them to a cooler as you got, you know, a smaller amount of food if you were, wanted to condense everything to be more efficient.
If you didn't have the sawdust and you didn't do that, another way, if you don't have a full freezer, another good thing that you can do is take an empty milk jug, not in a milk jug, but like a water gallon jug that's made out of plastic, fill it with water and put it in your freezer so that if something does go out, you have that extra ability to keep things cold. Now, I am told and understand that you never want to drink water that was frozen in a plastic container as it's carcinogenic. However, if I was starving to death or extremely thirsty in an emergency situation, I might have to decide whether I'm going to die from lack of water versus a carcinogen over a period of time.
Absolutely. Those are, you know, decisions to be made. They're not the best choices, but what is the choice? Immediate or maybe sometime later?
Right.
You know. And yeah, milk jugs. You never want to use a milk jug for storing water. I don't know if I think we talked about that, but milk has so much bacteria in it.
Right.
And on top of that, those jugs are made to break down quickly because
Absolutely.
There are so many of them. But and even if people think they can get them clean, they're just not a smart way to store water.
And you can use juice, plastic juice jugs. You know, one jug that I think that is much more durable, because I use white distilled vinegar for washing and rinsing our clothes and for mopping our floors and washing the windows and stuff, is white distilled vinegar jugs are very, you know, first of all, the whole product's very inexpensive for what you're using it for. And then the jug is very much more durable, and you can use that to store water in for drinking and or to also put water in to freeze.
Absolutely, yeah. Those are nice containers. And they're already paid, they're already built on the price of your product, so it's nice for to think of ways to reuse them.
Right. All right, quilts, blankets, and heavily insulated materials.
We talked about having, you know, good insulation, needing to protect your body from, you know, inclement weather. And there's, like, if you had a power outage and you had to keep your freezer, your refrigerator, one of the things you can do is throw several layers, as long as you don't need them for your body, throw several layers on top of your freezer or your refrigerator to help keep it cold. And there's a fabric that you can get at the fabric stores, and it's probably available online, that's called Warm Window. And it's about $20 a yard. It's been a few years since I've bought any. But if you have Joann stores, you can get it on sale half off, which is quite a discount. It has multiple layers in it, and one of them is Mylar. And it's light blocking, and it seriously reduces heat transfer. They advertise, you know, people making window coverings out of it, and you can do it in such a way that you would actually have magnetic strips or Velcro that you seal the window covering right around the frame of the window, and it's extraordinarily energy efficient for blocking heat and light transfer in and out of your home. But that could be certainly used if you, say, had a power outage or something, you were cold, or you had some of it rolled up in a car. It would be very insulating for a blanket or a personal use. And there's, you know, all kinds of heavy materials in blanketry that you can use to help keep either, like I said, like a freezer or whatever cold if you need to, or to keep a person warm.
It could be your house. I live in a log home. And so, you know, in before we had all the things that we have today, you would use material, a quilt, to cover the windows, to help keep it warmer. You might use quilting and material or blankets at the base of the doors to keep heat in or keep the house cool or warm. And so, yeah, these are things that we've just lost track of how to do them. And so if you have old blankets or old towels, don't necessarily throw them away. There's all kinds of good things and uses for them, which, by the way, on an off subject, just the way my mind thinks, is I like to take used towels that I don't necessarily, you know, they don't look so nice anymore, besides rags, is I like to wash them, bleach them, sterilize them, and then seal them in a plastic bag so that if there's a home birth or something, you know, it doesn't matter if I never get them back. Same thing with old sheets. And so that you can layer with plastic and sheets or extra towels for home births. And we might find ourselves in the days of Exodus with the midwives. So, again, these are other good reasons to have blankets and quilts and things, whether they're nice and we want to use them daily or something that we can use in case of an emergency, or if we have a bunch of refugees and we need to hand them over to them and say, here, here's a towel, here's a blanket, stay warm.
Yep. I mean, even if they're getting, you know, ours end up getting recycled down to the point where they're just not there anymore, or saving them. And it's a nice thing about pre-packaging some bandaging. I've had sisters that have done that as well, where they wash and sanitize, sterilize, and then pack them up in Ziploc bags, and they're saved for, you know, sterile use. And this is going to be very weird and random. We went to a show recently at a trade show, and there was a person there that was selling, they had military med kits, like a basic surgical kit. And there was also a doctor there that had the old metal speculums for sale.
Oh.
And it sounds very strange and bizarre, but I felt compelled. My husband thought I was absolutely crazy. But it was $5 for a true metal, you know, speculum. And a lot of times now they use the plastic throwaway ones. But I felt like, you know, this is a tool that you wouldn't necessarily come across or have in the wilderness.
Okay, now, for our audience, what is a speculum?
Oh, you're going to make me describe it. It is the tool that is used during a woman's exam that allows the doctor to open the area so that it can be examined properly. And they do come in different sizes.
Don't they use that also during childbirth occasionally?
Yes, to check the progress of the
okay. Versus a midwife's hands-on approach.
And I'm not saying it's a great, you know, yes,
right.
There is, you know, midwifery, they probably don't need them, but
you might find other uses for it, you know.
I just felt somehow compelled. I thought, I need this in the first aid kit. And I don't have medical training other than my first aid training in the military. So it's not like I plan on needing it or using it, but it was $5.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't something that was extraordinarily expensive. And I thought, you know, if I buy this tool, there may be someone that Father sends that.
Well, yeah, you might have a doctor in your midst or a midwife who could use it.
So, you know, for $5, it was worth putting it in the first aid kit.
I mean, I think that, you know, there's a lot of different scenarios we need to look at. We don't know if we're going to be invaded. We don't know if we're going to have civil war. We don't know if we're going to have, you know, the heavens shake before us soon, you know, where the whole grid goes out and we're, you know, back 100 years ago. We don't really know. And we don't know if our situation is going to be that we're going to be taken into captivity or shot out. And then the next people who happen to be refugees coming by end up hiding in your place and go, wow, someone prepared for me. We don't know. But we're just looking at kind of all the different options and scenarios that might could happen. And, you know, we know that regardless of what scenario we find ourselves in, we know that we cannot continue on the way we are, and that sooner or later there is going to be major judgment on this country and on the world, and things are about to change. And I think most of us, unless we're like the frog boiling in the pan, we see that we are in it now. We're not waiting anymore. We're here.
Right. And we don't know what the situation will be. And
right.
If you come across and you feel led to get things that you know, get them, because even if you can't use it, Father will make a way for it to be put to use if you feel, you know, led to certain things.
Right. And again, it might not be for your use or glory. It may be for someone down the road. Father has a bigger plan. And none of this preparation list takes the place of your spiritual preparation and relationship with Him and hearing His voice and following Him. Just want to remind people of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, none of this will matter if you don't have a relationship with Him.
All right. So do we want to go to radio and batteries?
Yes, radio. Shortwave, multiband. Those are reasonable. They're a little more spendy than just a normal FM AM radio. I think they run around $100, give or take. You can probably spend way more, and maybe you can find some for less. And you might pick one up, use somewhere where somebody, you know, just doesn't think they need it or want it. And it has multi bands on it, and shortwave goes farther. And that is where a lot of stuff you would hear news and things. And some ministries have broadcast on shortwave, and you can get things that you normally can't get otherwise. A ham radio is different. I mean, you need a license. It's a lot of equipment. But certainly we all know that that's generally the thing that most people think will be communication. If a lot of other things fail, there will be ham operators out there. And if you're inclined to get your ham operator's license and get your equipment and your antennas and everything, by all means, it's not a bad thing to do, because it is a, you know, viable means of communication. But you have to have a license and everything. At this current, you know, state that we're in, you would have to have a license to use it. And it wouldn't be a bad idea to be trained on the basics of how to operate a ham radio, whether or not you have one, in case you came across one and needed to use it.
Right. Now, I do know, though, I think you can be trained, but you can't necessarily be licensed. You have to be approved for a license. But that doesn't mean you can't, you know, use the skills. So when someone has to, an emergency situation, that they could use it.
Right. As providing you want to broadcast, or, but at least with a shortwave, you can hear you may get, you know, information on what is happening, even if you don't feel like you want to broadcast.
Right. All right. So, rain barrels.
Rain barrels, I've got mine from MidwestSales.com, and they were pretty reasonable. It was about $89, and that included shipping. They came pre-plumbed with a faucet and a screen lid, and they are food barrels. I think one of them was olives, and I think one of them we found had a couple of olives stuck in the bottom. They are a plastic, I mean, but they're at least food-grade plastic. They can also be used if they're not converted into rain barrels. They are very large storage containers. Sometimes people have them for even less. I've heard of places where they're $5 or $10 if you run across the right supplier. And they're great. You put them under your downspouts and just run your downspouts into them and collect rainwater off of your roof. There's a very large, it's surprising how much rain comes off of just the surface of your roof. If you have a metal roof, it's even better because you don't get all the some of the runoff from the asphalt shingles. But it's a great way to water your lawn or your garden or your, you know, stuff that you want to do that you might not want to run your well, or if you're in the city and you don't want to have to pay extra for gardening to water your garden. They're a nice way to supplement, and they're a good emergency supply. If you have a basement, you could put them, you know, you have to put them in empty, obviously, and you could fill them in your basement, and they would be a good thermal mass in the winter, and you'd have a very large water supply in the winter. You can't leave them out with water in them in cold weather climates because they are plastic and they will crack and break. In some places, it's illegal to collect rainwater, believe it or not. I think there's
That's right.
In Oregon who's been prosecuted for having his own reservoir on his own property.
Right. Well, and there was one in the news just here recently that a gentleman who has a car dealership who washes cars in Utah where there's not much water collects the rainwater and, you know, recycles it to clean. And the city has basically said, no, he can't do that. It's illegal, which is absurd because if it was really about conserving water, you know. But now they're going to get a lot of money together and have a study on the impact of using rainwater. And, like, somebody needs to know that, you know. But our government has other ways of spending our money without our permission. But what I do want to share with you is a year or so ago, I did a show with a brother named Brian Good, and it's called Rainwater Barrel Collection. And if you go to the NitzaMoshe.podbean or just go to Remnant Remedy and click on Remnant Radio and go over to the category on the Nitza Moshe Podbean to preparation, you will find Rainwater Barrel Collection. And he even has some YouTube links that he has shared. And one of the things I found very fascinating and interesting that I learned that some, you know, people would think it was naturally to know, but I did not, is that one of the reasons why, besides conservation, rainwater is good for your plants and makes them grow better and hardier is because they have been basically electrified with the lightning and the ions in the air. And so that water is differently charged and better water for your plants. So, again, this is back to frequency and energy or Devar or the word of Yahweh and how he created things. And so rainwater, which is, you know, common sense natural water, is healthier for probably your skin and your clothing and your plants. So you might want to check out that show and listen to what Brian has to say because he did this, and he has some learning videos for you.
In fact, that radio program is on our archive at www.remnantremedy.net/radio.
Beautiful. I've always loved rainstorms. Some people, you know, don't like them. I'm one of those people who loves a good thunderstorm.
go ahead.
Because, I mean, you know, and now that when you start understanding frequency and you understand Father and, you know, that there's a worship song and part of the line is he speaks with thunder and lightning.
Mm-hmm.
And every time a storm comes in, that song runs through my head and I'm like, that's my Father speaking. I know those aren't his, you know, literal spoken words in the sense, but just that he controls nature and he made everything so perfect and so wonderful. And I love to hear the things that he put in place, how every single thing has a purpose and it all ties together and it all goes back to his word. all goes back to frequency and his spoken word.
That's right. Let me tell you a short story. Before Hurricane Andrew came in Florida, and I was going to say, is that 93?
No, actually, that was 1992.
Hurricane Andrew was coming. I lived in Central Florida, so obviously you didn't think you were going to have a problem with the hurricane, which was down in South Florida. However, when these storms come, even though the sun's shining, you can get a whip of wind hundreds of miles away.
And it can be perfectly clear outside, no rain, nice, bright, sunny sun, and no idea that there's a storm or a wind anywhere nearby.
And this was a morning, and again, this is all about, you know, Father watching over you. I got a call from someone who never calls me to meet them for lunch, and I only had, you know, so many minutes to get up and get on the road, about 10 minutes to be able to do this. It was a very important meeting. And me and my daughters were in my bed, and that, because that's where we started our morning routine. When we had school, we would read the Bible and read history, and then we would get up, because I had one daughter who just hated to get out of bed. So I said, well, we'll take school to bed. And then she was much more congenial for the rest of the day. So, but anyway, I jumped out of bed, I got the girls ready, got in the car, left. I had no idea, but within 10 minutes of me leaving the house, one of those winds had whipped through, because I'm telling you, it was a bright sunshiny day, took a tree, the tree fell down and went through my roof into my bed. And so all these limbs and everything were sticking out. So can you imagine what would have happened to us had we been there before that tree fell? Now, so we had to get our roof fixed, and, you know, we didn't have electricity, et cetera, because of this. And so it had been a couple of days, and I hadn't had a shower or a bath. And now by this time, the hurricane has hit. We're getting the outwhips of it, even though we're several hundred miles north. And it is lightning and thundering. And the lightning is like the most spectacular fireworks show you have ever seen. And I'm desperate for a bath. And I had read in the book of Job. I love the book of Job, because in the book of Job, there is so much science. And I remember reading in there that basically he directs where a lightning bolt goes.
Yahweh Elohim himself directs where lightning goes.
And so I said, well, I need a bath. And it is raining cats and dogs, and I don't need a light out there because it's lightning. And I took a bar soap, and I went outside. Now, mind you, I was in the middle of the woods. Okay, I did live in the Ocala Forest. I didn't have any neighbors to see. I took my bar of soap. I walked out the front door, and I was bombarded with lightning and water, and I hurried up and took a shower. But I'm telling you, if I didn't believe that Yahweh was in control of where those lightning bolts were, I could have not done it. And so, anyway, I got a shower. I don't know if I got charged, but I got a shower.
But I bet that was one of the most exhilarating.
It was.
I mean, it's beautiful, you know? I mean, Father has provided. What a beautiful shower. I mean, now they make rain shower heads, right? Because we know Father does it best.
I think it was the quickest shower I ever took.
I bet.
But, you know, that rain was falling so hard. I'm telling you, there was just lightning everywhere. It was incredible. Anyway, I remember that. And again, you know, in the book of Job, when I teach the children about the respiratory system, I remember there's a verse in there that basically says when he breathes through his nostrils across the earth, that's one of the ways that the lakes are frozen. And I'm like, oh, wow. When he breathes, you know, he breathes the way he wants to put over the earth, whatever he wants. And I want my children to understand that before we go to study the scientific details of how the respiratory system works. I want them to know, you know, what does scripture say about this word of inspire or respire, respiration? Where does it originate in scripture? What does it have to do with the living word?
We're out of time, Suzette. Please join us next time when we come back for part 16a. May your garments always be white, and may your head lack no shimmin. Shalom.
There's no time for my bride to postpone. Garments of linen gotta be sewn. Learn how to make it.